Listen to the voices of our world.
This invasion of Iraq had nothing to do with lessening the threat of terrorist attacks on the United States. In fact, it's increased the likelihood of those attacks by increasing anger and resentment at the United States.
Again and again, I get people in audiences saying to me, but violence works, you know, bombing works. In fact, it doesn't work. What it does is it destroys the community, but that community does not give in.
We have to think, for example, about all the dictatorships that exist in the world, all the problems that exist in the world, and really ask, was Iraq invaded because the Bush administration couldn't sleep at night thinking about the fact that people were suffering under Saddam Hussein?
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Throughout our existence, conflict has shown itself to be an essential component of the human condition. And we continue to struggle mightily in our attempts to find nonviolent methods to resolve our most basic disputes. Is it within us to resist our violent instincts and to break the vicious cycle of war and destruction that ironically is all too often associated with our search for peace? Today we are joined by authors Anthony Arnov and Mary Wynne Ashford, both of whom have stressed nonviolence as the only solution for a majority of the world's most contentious conflicts. And we are pleased to have them on Voices of Our World. Our current adventures in Iraq have polarized our military, our politicians, our country, and the world community. Regardless of our motives for invading and occupying Iraq, the resulting violence and instability have caused many people to reconsider both how we are waging war and the efficacy of violence as a means to an end. The voices for troop withdrawal, once silenced by fears of being labeled unpatriotic, are growing louder by the day. Despite the attempts of the more hawkish among us to link troop withdrawal with cowardice, author Anthony Arnov believes that the most logical and moral thing to do is to bring the troops home now. In his new book, Iraq, The Logic of Withdrawal, he lays out a detailed argument as to how our violent endeavor in Iraq has actually taken us further away from our stated goals and has sown the seeds for further violent retaliation against us. Our Michael Jones speaks with Anthony Arnov.
Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Right now, many are drawing parallels between our current nightmare in Iraq and our previous nightmare in Vietnam. What are the similarities and the differences?
Well, there are both important similarities and important differences. The similarities are that in both cases, the United States invaded another country claiming to be liberating its people and found that the people felt that they were not being liberated but were being oppressed. And rather than being given democracy or self-determination, we're being denied it. And in both cases, the people fought back, fought back violently against the foreign occupation. Also, in both cases, we've seen use of what can only be called state terrorism, war crimes, crimes against humanity. In the case of Vietnam, aerial bombardment, massacres, use of napalm. And we've seen similar things in Iraq today, use of white phosphorus, use of depleted uranium munitions, massacres like the massacre in Haditha in November of 2005, having very clear echoes with the massacre of My Lai. And at the same time, there are differences, but they're rather sobering differences. One of the differences that I think is most significant is that from the standpoint of U.S. empire, Iraq today is far more strategic than Vietnam was in the 1960s and 1970s.
You state that the concept of American exceptionalism is partly responsible for the debacle in Iraq. What is this concept, and how did it lead us into Iraq?
Well, the United States has long had the idea that it is unique among countries in the world, unique in its valuing of freedom and democracy. And unique in that as it's acted on the world stage, it apparently has acted only out of interest for other countries, never out of self-interest. It's never claimed other people's territories like former colonial powers. This is something that's distilled in our textbooks and in a lot of the media portrayals of our history, but it's really completely at odds with reality. First of all empires have historically described their interventions abroad in the rhetoric of spreading democracy and humanity.
Many believe that, I guess, the critics of the war, they believe that, I guess, either oil or Israel or some other ulterior motive was the reason we entered Iraq. And I guess the supporters of the war would always cite the risk of WMD and the desire to liberate a population of 25 million people yearning for freedom as their reasons for entering Iraq. But what do you think the true aim of the neocons who drafted this strategy was? And how are these seemingly smart men, I guess, so easily are so out of touch with reality?
Well, that's a very important question. I think we have to think, for example, about all the dictatorships that exist in the world, all the problems that exist in the world, and really ask, was Iraq invaded because the Bush administration couldn't sleep at night thinking about the fact that people were living under a tyranny, that people were suffering under Saddam Hussein, particularly when one considers that many of the crimes that were cited as evidence for why Saddam Hussein had to be toppled took place with the backing and support of the United States. But setting that aside, would we have invaded Iraq if it wasn't in the Middle East, if it didn't have the world's second largest oil reserves, if it wasn't in the midst of two-thirds of world oil reserves and the greatest concentration of natural gas reserves in the world? I think it's ludicrous to think that. And we're seeing right now the limits of empire, the limits of the United States' ability to impose its will on other countries. But how could they have been so delusional? I think really we're talking about people who are drunk with power, people who thought they could reshape the world in their own interests, people who thought that the Iraqi people would greet them with sweets and flowers. And there was a whole culture of suppressing any voice, including voices within the intelligence apparatus of the United States and the British intelligence apparatus, who threw into question any of the ideas that were being used to sell this war.
This is Voices of Our World. If you're just joining us, we are talking with the author of Iraq, The Logic of Withdrawal, Anthony Arnov. The cut-and-run label has been used quite effectively to crush debate on whether or not our aims in Iraq can be achieved via military occupation. Yet many of the politicians who claim that withdrawal in Iraq would be tantamount to failure actually had no trouble cutting and running themselves to avoid having to serve in the military. It is much easier to be a hawk when you're not on the front line. Before we continue to let complacent politicians send young men off to kill and to die, logic dictates that we should at least consider and pursue all nonviolent options to their fullest. Sadly, as in other wars waged with the lives of other people's sons, the politicians conducting our Iraq campaign seem immune to such logic. We continue our interview with Anthony Arnov.
Whenever someone seems to mention the word immediate withdrawal, a chorus of Republicans seem to chime in with the phrase cut and run. How do you answer those critics who think withdrawal means defeat?
Well, the reality is withdrawal would mean defeat for the objectives of the United States, which are setting up military bases in Iraq, controlling that government, dictating to the Iraqi people how their economy is run, how their society is run. It would be a defeat from the standpoint of the United States. Would it be a defeat for this so-called war on terror? Well, that's a more complicated story, because the war on terror is being used as a cover for this intervention. This invasion of Iraq had nothing to do with lessening the threat of terrorist attacks on the United States. In fact, it's increased the likelihood of those attacks by increasing anger and resentment at the United States, which is likely to fuel people who might target innocent people in the United States as a result of the recklessness of our government's policies. It's also encouraged a global arms race. Iran, other countries look at Iraq and realize it was attacked not because it had weapons of mass destruction, but because it did not. And in terms of the other rationales that are being put forward for why the United States can't leave Iraq, the idea that there would be chaos if the United States left. Well, first of all, this is a very old colonial idea. The British said it about India. The Belgians said it about the Congo. There'll be chaos. We have to stay to provide order. Well, there's chaos now, and the main source of the chaos is the occupation and the opposition it's bred in Iraq. And I think we can just see the longer this occupation continues, the worse it gets for Iraqis, the more destabilizing it is for the region and for the world.
One of the things that I liked about your book was the fact that you mentioned the Iraqi civilian casualties and how their body count is actually rarely factored into the grim statistics of this war, and we're pretending that we're liberating them. What is the reality of the occupation? That's one of the chapters in your book. We tend to tell ourselves that it's all about liberating them and they're eager to have us there, but in fact, the day-to-day life of an Iraqi these days is pretty poor.
It's miserable, and we have to recall that it's been miserable for quite some time in Iraq. And then, in this occupation, things have only continued to get worse. It's hard to imagine that they could get worse, but they have. There's less electricity today in Iraq than there was before the invasion, less access to safe drinking water, less security. The death rate has skyrocketed in Iraq. And then a death toll, which now, according to The Lancet, the respected British medical journal, is at least over 98,000. That's a very conservative estimate that's now more than a year and a half old, and that excluded in its sample of the population of Iraq the city of Fallujah, the site of two brutal sieges in 2004 that claimed thousands of lives.
Can Americans really handle the humiliation of a defeat, of a withdrawal? What would be the implications long-term for American foreign policy if we were to withdraw?
Well, it's interesting. Right now, a majority of people in this country think it was a mistake to have invaded Iraq. So I think a majority of people are getting to the point where they see that it's only going to get worse the longer the U.S. stays, that more U.S. soldiers are needlessly going to die, more Iraqis are needlessly going to die, and we're only going to become more isolated from the world the longer we stay. And in terms of what the long-term consequences would be, I would hope it would lead to a more humble United States, to a United States that's not provoking so much anger and resentment and fear around the world, and to a United States that could begin to change direction from seeking to dominate other countries militarily and economically, seeking to control a resource, oil, which is dwindling, and a country that would start looking to cooperate with the world. Because the problems we face in the world today can't be solved through this kind of military and economic competition. They can only be solved through global cooperation and a completely different approach to international relations than the one that's characterized not just this administration, but every modern administration. It's not a Republican versus Democrat problem anymore. It's a fundamental problem of empire. And I would hope that this situation in Iraq would lead us to a radical rethinking of our priorities as a society.
Well, the book is called Iraq, The Logic of Withdrawal, and we're talking to its author, Anthony Arnov. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Can peace be brought about through violence? Email us at radio@marynoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.